Hello again. Welcome to the program. We're continuing in God's Church Manual, where we are taught how we ought to behave ourselves in the house of God. Today we're looking at 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 14 through 16. But before we do, let's make this our earnest prayer today. This is a prayer, this song, and we should make it this prayer earnestly before the Lord. Search me, O God, and know my heart today. First Timothy 4, verse 14 through 16, we read, "Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery." Now he's talking to the pastor. His name was Timothy. He was the pastor of the church at Ephesus. Paul the apostle is writing from a prison cell. He said to Timothy, "Meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all." Then he said, "Take heed, Pastor Timothy, take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine, continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee." He starts off with this word neglect. Neglect not the gift that is in thee. To neglect, the dictionary says, is the action of not taking care of something. If you don't take care of your body, you're going to have a problem. If you don't take care of your automobile, you're going to have a problem. If you take care of your lawn, it's going to grow up with weeds. It's not going to look good in a few weeks. The action of not taking care, proper care of something. What's he talking about here? Hebrews 2, 1 says, therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. Now, the focus here is how we ought to behave in the church, leadership particularly, although the application here is for everyone. Hebrews 2:1 says, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? The word starts off in verse 14, neglect. How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? 2 Peter 1:12, Peter said, wherefore I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though ye know them, and be established in the present truth. Now, it's interesting that word neglect and negligent is the same Greek word. So, we're warned in 1 Corinthians 10, wherefore let him that thinketh he stand take heed lest he fall, because if we neglect so great a salvation, we're going to fall for the apostasy that we're living in today, and that is the main reason why we are falling headlong for this apostasy today in our so-called fundamental churches. He said, neglect not the gift that is in thee. Now, in Romans chapter 12, we have a really interesting portion of scripture concerning gifts in the local church. He starts out in verse 3, and he says, for I say, through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. Romans 12 and 3. Now, in verse 6, he says, having then gifts differing. And then he mentions 7 gifts here that are in the local church. And if everyone who had this gift would just go ahead and let God use it, not neglect it, we'd have a church on fire for God. First, in verse 6, he refers to the prophet. Verse 7, the servant. Then the teacher. Then in verse 8, the exhorter. Also in verse 8, the giver, the ruler, and the mercy shower. Now, he said, neglect not the gift that is in thee. Now, this is a very interesting series, and someday I hope I can find the time and the Lord will open it up for me to do this series on the internet here, because it is such a helpful thing when you understand it. It helps to understand why people are motivated the way they are. For instance, you have the prophet. The prophet, he sees everything as black and white. And the person, be he the pastor or the people in the congregation that have this gift, and the prophet here doesn't mean to tell the future. There's a prophet who would foretell, and the prophet in the New Testament church would tell forth. He's very, you don't have to guess what he's talking about. To that person, we need sermons that expose sin, proclaim truth, and warn of judgment to come. Those are the kind of sermons that we need today. That's the motivation of the prophet. Then you got the servant. We need practical assistance for every member of the church to encourage them and help them with their responsibilities. The servant, if you announce that you're going to be doing some work at the church, you won't have to coax them to come. That's what they're motivated to do. Important people. Then we have the teacher. We need Bible studies with exact emphasis on the meaning of words as presented within the context. Very important that we teach it. And this person, if he's a pastor, he's probably going, when he preaches and teaches, he's doing more teaching than preaching. Preaching, you know, that word means to preach. hear ye, thus saith the king. The guy would come in on his horse. He didn't come in town to negotiate with people or dialogue. He came in to preach. This is what the king said, and you better listen. He's probably a prophet. Now, the teacher, you know, he's going to say, you know, we need to understand these words. Words that were used 2,000 years ago, they don't mean the same today. We need to go verse by verse, even word by word in that verse, and see what it's really talking about in its context. Now, you can understand here, the prophet, the servant, the teacher are all very important to God. It's not like one is more important than the other. In that previous verse we read, that's what it was saying. Then we need the exhorter. The exhorter, he's motivated for something like, we need personal counseling and encouragement for every member so they can apply Scripture to their everyday living. The prophet, he's the kind of guy that's going to get up and say, hey, this is right, that's wrong, don't do wrong, do right. The exhorter, he's going to say, wait a minute now, there's step by step to get from wrong to right, and somebody has to help them along. Both of these people are very important. Then we have the administrator. We need a smooth-running church with all things done decently and in order. All of these are very, very important. But we should, and we will be, if we're Christians, we're going to be motivated in one of these areas, but we ought to manifest in all of them. The giver, we need programs focusing on financial help for missionaries and those who are in need. You won't have to preach a 7-point outline to a giver when you're having your missions conference. He's there and he is motivated to give. Then we have the mercy shore. We need special outreach ministries to help meet the needs of people who are hurting. Can you see how all of these gifts are so important in the local church? Well, 1 Timothy 4:15, Paul said, meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Meditate. To meditate is to think deeply or carefully about something. What do you want us to think about, Paul? These things. These things are listed. We've seen them on previous programs all the way through the book of Timothy. We'll look at them a little more today. Give thyself wholly to them. These things. Well, verse 14, he said, these things I write unto thee, hoping to come unto thee shortly. But if I tarry long, and of course he was in prison, he didn't know if he was going to get out or not. If I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. This can't wait. I have hoped to come to see thee, but this can't wait. This is so important. These things. Interesting. These things, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God. And so, give thyself wholly. We need to ask ourselves, are we giving ourselves wholly to knowing how we ought to behave in the house of God, or are we just going with the tradition of what we call fundamentalism? He said in verse 6, if thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ. Now, if we're going to remember something, it means if you cause them to think. Not much thinking going on these days. What do we think about? He's talked about the danger of apostasy. He said some will depart. You notice in 1 and 2 Timothy, we've looked at it several times, the word some. I call it when God sums it up. Some shall depart. There's 12 times it's listed what some were going to do. Some were vessels to honor, but out of 12 that are listed, 11 were vessels to dishonor. Be careful. Be careful. Some will depart. The danger of apostasy. The danger of deception, deceiving spirits he talked about. The danger of false teachers, doctrines of demons he calls it. Think about these things, and the pastor is to cause the people to think about these things. Hosea 4:6, God said, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge, because thou hast rejected knowledge. Verse 11, chapter 4, these things command and teach. Well, command. That's the same word in 1 Timothy 1:3, where he said, charge some that they teach some other doctrine. And so, in Galatians 2, Paul said in verse 14, when I saw that they, who are they? Peter and Barnabas walk not uprightly according to the truth of the gospel. Yeah, read it there in chapter 2 and verse well, several verses there. What did Paul do? I said to Peter, before them all. That's interesting. He could have taken him in the back room and said, Peter, we need to have a little chat. You're not good testimony here. No, he said, before them all. And God said, I make sure this gets in my book, the book we call the Word of God. I got to get this in here because they know how they ought to behave themselves in the church of God. This is what they should do when somebody is walking contrary to the truth of the gospel and presenting a damnable heresy like you don't have to repent in order to be saved. What did he do? He charged them before them all. Meditate. Think deeply or carefully about something. Thinking deeply about these things. Give thyself wholly to them. And these things give in charge that they may be blameless. Give in charge? Yeah. Guilty as charged. The Bible says, Paul said, 1 Timothy 1:20, gave an example here. And God made sure it was in his book. What did you do, Paul? He said, well, Hymenaeus and Alexander, I delivered unto Satan that they may learn not to blaspheme. Wow. It's called church discipline. Oh, we don't do that anymore. We got to keep the crowd up. You know, we start our churches to help people. Then we get a bunch of mortgages and things that we didn't really pray about. And then we need the people to help us. Oh, we can't do this church discipline thing because we need the guys offering. And pretty soon our fundamental churches are filled with rock bands and all kinds of nonsense. All kinds of churches 40 years ago, all kinds of them. Fundamental independent Baptist churches out there. Take the word fundamental off. Take the word church off. Call it something else. Make it easy for people to come in. And then you got rock bands and all over the front. And it's a mess. Why? Because we don't know anything, or we do. We ignore what the Bible says about church discipline. So he says, I charge thee before God. Yeah, that's interesting. And the Lord Jesus Christ. And the elect angels, that thou observe these things without preferring one before another, doing nothing by partiality. I'd like to park on that verse for a couple of weeks. Well, we move on. 1 Timothy 6:2, these things teach and exhort. Oh no, let's just keep the meetings positive and stay away from any issues. My people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge, because thou hast rejected knowledge. Somebody came up with a foolish statement, what you don't know won't hurt you. The guy in the little canoe there is about to find out different. What you don't know will destroy you, and it is the pastor's responsibility to teach these things, exhort these things. But thou, O man of God, flee these things. And follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, and meekness. Now, these things. He's talking here about money. If you look at verse number 10, for the love of money is the root of all evil, which some have coveted after. They have erred from the faith and have pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Would that happen in our churches? Oh, it's happening all the time. We got to get more money so we can get a building. Here's the building fund. Put your money in here. Not against buildings, but for 200 or 300 years the church began, 2,000 years ago, they didn't have any buildings, but they had a lot of sincere Christians. Now, today, we've taken our focus off what we're really here for. Oh, we got to get a building. We got to get a gymnasium because we got to entertain the young people to get them come. Let's just preach the truth and let the Holy Spirit work in the hearts of people, and they will come. O Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust, which some professing have erred concerning the faith. Well, let's pray this prayer again. Make it sincere, honest prayer. Search me, O God, know my heart today. Try me, O Savior, and know my thoughts, I pray. See if there be some wicked way, some way I'm doing it wrong in me. Cleanse me from every sin and set me free.